Let's come to God's word this morning. The good news is we come to God's word. That's the good news. All right. The bad news is I can't find my notes. But that doesn't matter. Okay? Think about, do you love Jesus? Let me hear you say that. Yes? You love Jesus. Wonderful. Do you love His bride? Do you love His bride? Okay. You know who His bride is? The church. Okay. Now, you know, we can do things to serve the church. And that's great. We just commended Meher this morning. But imagine if you were asked to go and do something, and this would involve traveling from Mumbai to Kashmir. All right? So you're traveling from Mumbai to Kashmir, and you can't take a bus, you can't take a train, you can either use a horse, a camel, a donkey, or walk. Would you do something like that? That takes a lot of effort, isn't it? Yeah. Well, this morning we're going to look at a man called, the message begins with Epaphras. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And Epaphras was a person who did exactly that. He traveled 2,000 kilometers to meet the Apostle Paul, who was imprisoned in Rome. Okay, so he traveled from Mumbai to Kashmir. At that time, there was no spice jet. You know, there was no Jet Airways. There's no Jet Airways even today. But so all that is the same. So he couldn't just fly there or take an Uber or an Ola. I don't know how he traveled, but whatever it was, a 2,000 kilometer journey is a long journey. And in verse 7, it talks about Epaphras. He says, let's read from verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over this world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Okay, that's it. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that your word is living and active. As I proclaim your word this morning, Lord, may your Spirit guide me. Bring to mind all that I have prepared in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here's the background. Colossae is a city in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And when Paul, on his third missionary journey, this is how the church was planted, in Acts chapter 19. Paul was in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19. And in Ephesus, you remember that this is what Paul did. Acts chapter 19, we'll look at verse 8 onwards. Paul entered the synagogue and boldly spoke there for 3 months. But some of them became obstinate and they refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them, he took the disciples with him, and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years. Okay? And what was the result of that? So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Amazing. So here's Paul in Ephesus. He goes to the Jews. They are obstinate. They don't want to listen to the word. So he says, okay, forget them. And then he goes and rents a hall, the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And for how many years, he says? He says for 2 years, he continued to have discussions with them daily. It's something like maybe our IDT that we are having. When we say, you know, but they did it daily. All he did was he taught the word to the people there. And he said, the result is, wow, what happened as a result of this? So that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia, this Asia does not refer to modern day Asia, it refers to Asia Minor, heard the word of the Lord. So Paul taught, the people were so stirred that they went and they preached the gospel to different places. Okay, the other cities there are Hierapolis and Laodicea. So three cities there. Now Epaphras was somebody from the city of Colossae. And he must have been in Ephesus. He must have heard the gospel. And he took it back to his hometown, Colossae, and planted a church there. That's what he did. So that's the background to the book, to the letter of Colossians. The church was not planted by Paul directly. Paul had never visited the church. But he had influenced Epaphras. Epaphras had gone back, planted the church, and that's the story. Now, the church had been going for some time, and then Epaphras was concerned about some heresies that were in the area that could come into the church and affect the church. And so Epaphras makes the 2,000 kilometer journey to the Apostle Paul to tell Paul, Paul, this is what is happening in the area. These are the dangers that are there, you know. And so in response to that, Paul writes the letter to the Colossians. Do we get that now? So that's what happens. So there's heresies in the area that they're not in the churches yet. They could be coming there. But before it happens, Epaphras had foresight. He went to Paul in advance and said, Paul, this is happening. And so the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Colossians. So let's look at the letter. So Paul begins by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So this is not just anybody writing. Remember, Paul does not know these people, all of them. He's not been to Colossae. He knows some of them. But he's writing and he says, I am an apostle of Christ Jesus. This is not just a pen pal writing a letter. I don't know if you have pen pals today. I don't know. Half of you may not even know what a pen pal is. But anyway, this is not just a letter to the editor or something. He's establishing his authority in what he's saying. He's saying, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a representative of Jesus. What I'm saying is, they are not my thoughts. They are Jesus' thoughts and his commands. And he says, and I'm an apostle by the will of God. Paul was he didn't choose himself. You know, many people want to say, I want to be a pastor, I want to be an apostle, I want to be a prophet. Paul was just the opposite. He persecuted the Christians. He had no intention of being a pastor or an apostle. You know, that's what happened. Maybe you're in that situation right now. All right, but that's what happened. And then God met with him miraculously on the Damascus Road. Isn't that true? Yeah, he was going to get the Christians and put them in jail. God sovereignly and supernaturally met with him. And that's how he was saved and called and commissioned. Let's go on. So Paul writes and says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ. Okay, and just before that he says, and Timothy our brother. So when he's writing letters, he's saying, this letter is from me, Paul, and Timothy is also there alongside with me. So Paul often, you know, wrote about his companions. To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Wow, what a way to address people. Okay, he's saying to the holy and faithful brothers. You know, what's another word for holy? Saints. Saints. In the other letters, he calls people to the saints. To the saints. So really, what Paul is saying is that if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a saint. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Do you ever think of yourself that way? Now, please listen. We need to change our thinking so it conforms with Scripture. Okay? Say to yourself, if you know Jesus is your Savior, you are a saint. Okay? Say to yourself, I am a saint. Yeah. Now, you may find it hard to believe. Okay? But that's what Scripture declares you as. And that's what Paul, writing to the Colossians and the others, he calls them saints. Okay? I'll put that there. So, you know, often we get confused about the meaning of the word saint. You know, our common understanding of saint is some very, very, very holy person. Isn't that so? You say, but I'm talking to you today about the biblical understanding of saint. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus. Now, I'm sure that, you know, same thing with Corinth. There must have been some Christians whose lives were not in order. In fact, all of us have something in our lives that is not in order. But Jesus sees us as saints. All right. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and call them Saint Whoever, so that rub it in there. Okay. So if you print a business card, you know, a lot of people put doctor and all these things in front of your name. You can just put ST. That's a wonderful evangelistic opportunity. People say, ST, ye kya hai? Saint. All right. But I'm telling you about the biblical meaning of saint. Do you see it in Scripture? Okay. Let's go on. So now, just to tell you, what does saint mean? Saint does not mean you are sinless. Saint does not mean you are sinless. What it means is this. It means that once upon a time, you were a sinner. All right? Once upon a time. Romans 9, verse 9. Very quickly. Romans 9, verse 9. Sorry, go on. Let me just turn to that. You know, there are many scriptures that speak about the sinfulness of man. No, sorry, it's not 9. Okay. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We start life off as sinners. That's what we are. But then, when we put our faith in Jesus, okay, turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we start off life as sinners. Every man, woman, or child born on this earth starts off life as sinners. All right? That's what it is. But then we become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus. When we believe in what Jesus has done on the cross, dying for our sins, and we say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be punished, but I'm trusting in you. You know what happens? We become sons and daughters. And not just sons and daughters, the Bible then calls us saints. All right? And that's what we are. And then the progression goes, not only are we saints, but then we become servants of the Most High. Okay? When we then use our gifts, our talents, our abilities to serve God. Okay? Now, So that's what we are. I just want to help us to understand this meaning of the word saints. Saints really means set apart. Okay? It means set apart. That means, it does not mean perfection. Please understand this. You know, it does not mean you are perfect. It just means you've been set apart. Now, anybody had a bath this week? All of, okay, shower, bath, you know, we've all done that. Now, you dry yourself, what do you use? A towel. A nice, clean, lovely, fluffy towel. Okay? Now, that towel has been set apart for your body. Isn't that right? That's what it means. It's not perfect. After wiping, you may get dirty. All right? But it's got a function. It's set apart for your body. Now, in your house, there's another cloth called a katka. Isn't that right? Yeah? What's the English word for it? A mop. A mop. That cloth that is mop. Okay? That is used for the floor. Yeah? That's used for the floor. Yeah? To clean the floor. Now, I hope there's a big difference between the mop and your towel. Right? So you see, that towel has been set apart for your beautiful body. That mop is for the floor. Okay? And we shouldn't mix the two. Oh, horror of horrors if your beautiful towel was used for the floor. And even worse, if you use the mop. Imagine it's dark, the lights have gone off, and you take the raw. Horrible. And so what we've got to realize is this. You have been set apart by Christ. All right? To live a sanctified, a holy life pleasing to God. When we get into sin, it's like your beautiful towel is being used for the floor. That's what it is. Okay? So for us to understand from this, when it means we are holy, it means God declares us holy, God declares us saints. We are not perfect. We have a long way to go. But, you know, Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And he says, and they were messed up as a church. Yeah? They were messed up. Some, you know, it says, somebody has his father's wife and all kinds of things. He says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. That's what it is. So, we are saints. That's what God declares us. But we are also being sanctified, becoming more and more like Jesus. Okay, let's move on. So, let's go on. So, the holy and faithful saints in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Let's look at verse 3 of Colossians chapter 1. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. A couple of things we can learn from that. Number one is Paul prayed for the people, the saints at Colossae and other places. All right? That's a lesson for us. Hey, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for other Christians. Okay, spend some time. You hear something. Somebody's unwell on the group. We keep putting up prayer messages. And it doesn't mean that you have to, take 5 hours off and pray. If you'd like to do that, that's fine. But as the messages keep coming in the midst of your busy day, take a minute and just lift up people in prayer. So he says, we always thank God, the Father of Jesus of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So, one is he prayed for the saints. Number two, he says, we thank God for you. All right? So that's another thing to do. We appreciate, we encourage, we thank God for people. Now, why did Paul give thanks to God for the Colossians? What were the reasons? And I want to bring out three things there. Three things. The first one is, he says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so Epaphras must have come and told them about the Colossians, and he's saying, because I've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And that's the amazing thing. Okay, because faith is the bridge that'll take us to heaven. All right, saving faith, believing in Jesus. And he says, because of your faith in Christ Jesus, I'm thanking God for you. The second thing he says is, and the love you have for all the saints. So it's not just faith that he's thankful for. He's saying, you love the saints, the other brothers and sisters. And that's the second thing there. And the third thing he says is, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. So you see the triad there? Faith, hope, and there's love. All right? And he says, this is a story that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So this is what Paul is doing. He's writing to them. He's saying, hey, saints, I pray for you. I thank God for you. I thank God. Now, what is he? He's not thanking God because you bought a new BMW. Praise God if you did that. All right? But he's saying, I thank God because of your faith in Christ Jesus. I thank God because of your love for one another. And he says, I thank God because of your hope, because of the hope that you have in the gospel. So, we don't have time to... This is a series of messages on Colossians, so we look at them. But let's look at a couple of things this morning. Okay, let's look at just the word faith. Okay. Now, a lot of people say, I have faith, I have faith. But really what Paul is talking about is saving faith. Okay? There is saving faith. And that faith is what will take a person from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When they truly believe in Jesus. Now, we often think of faith as just intellectually believing something. I believe. But the faith that the Bible talks about is not just believing in our minds, but it results in a change of behavior. Obedience. Okay? Obedience. Now, you can have saving faith and you can have demonic faith. What is demonic faith in the gospel? Is it there in your Bible? Turn to James. All right. Turn to James chapter 2. Okay, and here I want to show you how faith and works are linked up. He said, what good is it, my brother? Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? That means he's talking about people who say, I believe in Jesus, but they have no deeds or no fruit in their life that should be there as a result of their faith. He says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So the saving faith, biblical faith, means there is a transformation in life and there are deeds and there are works that follow it. So a simple thing to examine is, are there deeds and are there works in my life? Can other people look at me and see, aha, their life, there are good deeds, there are works. Now we've got to be clear, good deeds and works do not save us. Okay? It's like this. Martin Luther. Martin Luther was the one who fought for faith. Salvation by faith alone. But you know what was said? He says, salvation is by faith alone. But the faith that saves is never alone. Got it? So we're saved by faith alone. But when you're really saved, there's such a transformation that you can't help but loving one another, serving one another, giving, doing good deeds. That's what it is. So here we see, we're talking about demonic faith. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Okay? So he says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So you see, people can have demonic faith. What do I mean by demonic faith? By this I mean they believe in Jesus. They believe in one God. They believe. But they have not appropriated that faith into their lives. Do the demons know about Jesus? Yes. Do they know he's the Son of God? Yes. Are they going to heaven? No. You see that? So they've not received that faith into their lives. Okay? So Christians, I'm putting that in quotes, can be deceived. People standing here or sitting here can be deceived. Where you think you have faith, but really it's not true faith. Okay? And so really we've got to say, Lord, If there is true faith in my life, there's got to be a transformation. Remember, sinner to saint to servant. All right? That's what we saw in Colossians. Okay, let's quickly go on. Just to give you an example. Now, we talk about salvation. I just want to speak about one thing. Have you heard the song Amazing Grace? Yes. Amazing song, isn't it? Yeah. That song has been recorded over 11,000 times sung by different artists, right from Elvis Presley to Barack Obama and others. Amazing song. Okay. What's the history of the song? Some of you know about it. But it was written by a person called John Newton. Yeah? What was he? Do you think he was a good guy? Okay, John Newton was a captain of a slave ship. That's what he was. He, you know, they say sailors are very profane. Okay, the bad language, all that and all that. They said, but he made the sailors blush. Do you get that? So he was bad. He was that. Okay. Now, his mother prayed for him. Mothers, pray for your children. Okay, mothers, pray for your children. When he was young, his mother taught him the scriptures. So something went in. So even when your children are young, teach them the scriptures. And that's what happened to John Newton. He studied, you know, when he was young. But then life changed. He went on the ship and all things happened. He became the captain of a slave ship. And one day, he was traveling from one place to another. And there was such a storm. It wasn't a half an hour storm. It was an 11-day storm. They feared for their lives. The ship was buffeted over the waves. And he thought he was going to die. He was on the stern of the deck there, steering the ship. And in the midst of that, somewhere he remembered some scripture that he had. And he sort of cried out to God. And God saved his life. Wow. And he became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And you know, he was in the slave trade. He became a follower of Jesus. Did he give up his slavery immediately? No, he didn't. You see, he was a saint, but it took a while till he got the word into him to understand. And that's how it is with all of us. We are declared holy, but then we have to become holy. And that's a process. And that happens as we read the word, as we study the word, as we apply the word, as we interact with other Christians, as we are part of a church, and slowly we are changed from one degree of glory to another. Okay, and so John Newton then wrote that amazing song, Amazing Grace. And the point I want to make is, if God could save John Newton, he can save any of us. No matter what sin we've committed. What sin? Can you imagine what John Newton did? Thousands of people were taken from Africa and sold as slaves. Horrible crimes. Not one crime, but over and over again. But he wrote those songs. So this morning, I want to say to you, no matter what your sin is, God's grace is much bigger. Amen? Much bigger. And really, that's what God wants. So we come back to Colossians and we looked at faith. We don't have time to look into love and hope. But I want to leave these thoughts with you this morning. Okay? Remember Epaphras. Let's look at his example. He traveled 2,000 kilometers because he was concerned for his church. He loved the bride of Christ. Okay? What will you do to demonstrate your love for Jesus' bride? There are so many who serve so wonderfully. Yeah, they do different things. And I want to commend you for doing that. Keep doing it. We've got this wonderful setup team, clear up team, breakfast team, musicians that meet every week for practice, and many others. Praise God. For those of you who are new, I want to say, get in on this. Jump in, okay? Jump in on this. We're demonstrating love for Jesus' bride in whatever way God calls you to do that. Okay. Secondly, we see that Epaphras was concerned for the purity of the church. He didn't wait for the problems to come in. Before they entered the church in Colossae, he went to Paul and said, Paul, this is what is happening. I'm concerned. Yeah? Are you concerned for the purity and the well-being of the church? Okay, do that. Then we looked at faith. Do you have saving faith in your life this morning? Okay, we need to. The Bible says, examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Are you in the faith? Okay? It's not works that save you. It's the true faith in Jesus. But when you have true faith, there's got to be transformation. Okay? It's transformation. And then we don't have time to get into that, but he says, Paul prayed for the saints. We need to do that. Can we pray for one another? He thanked God for them, for their faith, and the love they had for all the saints. Let's love one another. Okay, there are different ways to express love. And in a sentence, love is when you sacrifice something in order to serve somebody else. When you sacrifice something. We know we are celebrating Meher's 10 years of not just being part of Word of Grace, but serving faithfully. And Lasya is not here, but Lasya will tell you. The first Sunday Lasya came to Word of Grace, Meher invited her to a home for a meal. Wow, that's powerful. And today, Lasya, look at where she is. Wow, praise God. You know, so we have great opportunity to do good to the family of God, to demonstrate love. And anyway, so this is just a little introduction, a taste into the book of Colossians. There's much more. It's amazing when we come to the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. You know, what motivated the Colossians is, of course, faith in Jesus, love for the saints, but it was based on the great hope that they have. Okay? We are not people without hope. We have great hope. One day we will be like Jesus. Wow, I don't know what that means, but that's what the Bible says. We will see Him because we will be like Him. You're tired of your body? One day you'll have a glorified body. No imperfections, no weaknesses, a perfect heavenly body. Tired of sickness and death? One day in heaven, there will be no sickness, no death. He will wipe away every tear. Wow, that's the great hope we have. Yeah? Jesus is coming for us. Wow. Anyway, we don't have time to get into all of that. All right? Shall we pray this morning? Shall we pray this morning? Lord, we thank You for Your great grace upon our lives, Lord. Thank You for saving us, for bringing us into Your great family. Lord, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would continue to work in us, that we would grow in faith, we'd grow in love to one another, and we would be steadfast in hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.